Good morning, Evergreen Online. It is with the heaviest of hearts that I let you know the passing of one of our most treasured Evergreeners, Irene Jong. Irene has had a long, hard battle with cancer and has shown her usual tenacious spirit against her sickness. She passed away in her sleep early on Tuesday morning at home. Irene, as many of us knew her, was like our team mom here at Evergreen. She was like in charge of our PTA if we were her classroom. She took care of us, cooking for us, caring for us, entertaining us, and bringing us together. She was an astounding leader, gathering people from every corner of the church and giving us different responsibilities, different jobs to help make this church function and run and flourish in so many different ways. She recruited us for her grand visions for VBS, for Easter, for October Fall Festival. And she had this tremendous faith, knowing that each moment that God gave her on this planet was filled with some sort of divine purpose. And even as the cancer took her physical strength, her mental and emotional strength raged within her. Our staff team literally could not stop her from planning events at church even after she was battling cancer. We even pleaded with her because we knew that her body might need the rest. But she knew that God was doing something here, and she wanted to help facilitate that work through the gifts that God had given her, her ability and passion to plan large events for this entire church family. Irene had a wonderful family, a huge family that is very close, and I know we'll miss her dearly. Our hearts and our prayers go out to Irene's husband, Benkin, along with her daughter, Marissa, and her fiance, Carlos, her sons, Robert, Garrett, and Jason. Many of you also know Irene's sister, Pauline, with her husband, Kenny, and daughter, Jessa, who attend Evergreen as well. You know, Irene treated us all like family. And if you were one of her volunteers, you couldn't even sneak out of this church without two bags full of leftover food that she had cooked and prepared for your family at home. No matter who you were, you felt like one of her kids. I know many of us were close to Irene, and her passing during this time of pandemic makes grieving extra hard. Our normal practices for funeral services must be reconsidered during this time. As the Jong family, our church and the mortuary work together to find good solutions in this unique season, we ask for your patience and for your prayers. We will post updates and information through email and our website. And I just want to invite us right now to take a moment to pray for the Jong and the Lai family as they mourn the tremendous loss of their matriarch. And I want to pray for all of you too, who I know are also gravely affected by the passing of our good friend. Let's pray. Jesus, our hearts are broken in two. Our spirits are downcast. Our joy has escaped us for the moment because we mourn the loss of one of this church's favorite people. Irene was so special to us. She loved us, she cared for us, she fed us. She nurtured us, she led us, she gathered us, she mothered us, Lord, in ways that very few people could. We are heartbroken that she has passed away so suddenly, and even though she was battling cancer for a long while, still unexpectedly. She's someone that we will miss so much. Her laughter, her jokes, the volume of her voice, and the faith that just poured out of her pores, the way that she loved you and the way that she wanted other people to know who you were. And God, it's not just Irene we love, but it's the entire family that we love. We pray, Lord, for Benkin, for Marissa and Carlos, for Robert, for Garrett, for Jason, for Kenny and Pauline and Jessa and their entire family. We ask God for your hand of peace to be on them during this time, this very difficult time. We ask, Lord, for your comfort. We ask, Lord, for your strength. We ask, Lord, for your protection on their health as they still must gather together in some small ways to figure out funeral arrangements and logistics for her passing. I pray, Lord, that you would make your presence very evident to this congregation at this time. Lord, it's so hard to mourn when we have to be distant from each other physically. Help us, Lord, to continue to find comfort in each other, to find support in each other, and Lord, to cling on to you during this time. Ask God for your strength for all of us, for your peace upon all of our hearts, for your grace, for your mercy, for your tender care. We know, Lord, without a doubt, that she is within your arms right now. And we thank you, Lord, for that promise of hope that you give us. We thank you for her life, for her impact, and for her influence upon each of our lives. Be with us now. Be with Irene's family. In Jesus' name, amen. We realize that this is a difficult time to experience such loss. And it's hard to imagine what grieving looks like in a season where we have to be physically distant from each other. And so one thing we wanted to do was to invite you to post on our message boards on YouTube, on Facebook, or text each other, email each other, pictures, memories, thoughts about who Irene was to you, and funny stories that you remember about her, meaningful stories that you remember about her. We know that she's impacted this congregation in many, many ways and for many, many years. And so right now during the service, if you are in front of your computer or in front of your device where you can post something, we invite you to do that to actually help yourselves process and help this congregation not only grieve her loss, but also to celebrate her life. And I think that both sharing the grief and the memories will be healing for us. It'll help us to process what we're feeling inside and what God's doing in us. As we move into our sermon, for the second week, we are having an online service. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time, maybe you need some spiritual feeding this week and you just happen to come across our website or we're looking for a church where you could access their services online. If you're new to this community, then we definitely welcome you. We have been going through our Lenten series called Broken during the season of Lent. And the season of Lent for the church is a season of lament and a season of mourning. And we actually lament and grieve the condition of our lives and the condition of the world. This year, we've been exploring all the ways in which we are divided, in which we are separated and broken in our relationships to God, to the world, to everyone around us. And we've been breaking a tile each week to symbolize our human condition, the brokenness of our human condition, and placing it at the foot of the cross as a way to journey toward Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And so we continue to do that here each week, even though we're online. Now, pre-pandemic, we know that we're in a season of pandemic at this point, and the whole world seems to be changing minute by minute, hour by hour. Pre-pandemic, we had planned out the sermon series, and we had a bunch of different topics that we were planning on speaking on. And today, I was actually going to be talking about broken church. I was going to be talking about schism. Now, schism is a division that it happens typically within a group of people within the church. And we know that division has been sort of a characteristic of our nation in the past couple years. Division can be seen throughout our lives, and everybody wants to know at this point in society and culture whose side you're on. Are you Republican? Are you Democrat? Are you progressive? Are you conservative? Who are you voting for in the primaries? In the church, schism is when the people of God divide over something that I think really should not split us. The scriptures talk about this as an issue that's very important to the church. And the New Testament actually warns against people who cause this division in congregations. And I wanted to talk about this because many of you know that we have been on a journey to include the LGBTQ community here at Evergreen. Now, for this time, this conversation continues to be very divisive in a lot of churches. Everywhere you look, congregations and churches are wrestling with various interpretations of the Bible, along with a call to love all of God's people without restraint. We have a wonderful queer community here at Evergreen, but there is still a part of our journey that needs to be resolved: how we will address same-sex weddings here at Evergreen. And if you were at our congregational meeting a few weeks ago, you know that I mentioned this. We're not going to dive into that here today, but I want you to be in prayer for Evergreen as we hopefully can come back together, hopefully sooner rather than later, and talk about this as a congregation, as a church family. I believe God is inviting us into a transformative process, that this is a moment where God is actually going to teach us something and change us, change all of us. I think that it will be good for us. My hope is that we will reach through what divides many other congregations and find unity in the Christ that we all worship and adore. And so I invite you to pray over our church, even as we are restricted from meeting at this time. As I was thinking about the topic this week in the midst of pandemic, I realized that broken church means something very different for us, very relevant to us today. What began as a sermon of lament over ideological division and theological division in our church has now become very physical division. Now we are separated because of the coronavirus. We distance ourselves from each other. And if our technology is working, you can see now a picture of our last in-person staff meeting this week as we practice that 6 feet of social distancing. Our staff is preparing to move most of our office operations off campus at the end of this week and into next week so that our staff can be safe and work from home. But this is a picture of us meeting and spreading out as much as we can within the same room so that we can respect each other's health and try to keep our team as healthy as possible. Now, distancing is so hard because no matter if we're introverted or extroverted, we're social creatures. We're inherently relational. We're made for relationship, to be close to each other, to be part of clubs and societies and congregations. We like to congregate to cheer on sports teams, to cheer on our schools. We like to cheer on our country for the Olympic Games. And it's even a reason why we divide from each other. Whether we separate from people who are different from us or some other reason, it's often out of this desire to be with people that are more like us. And so we like to congregate and be with people who we find this common interest or this common common unifying factor with. As Christians, our story begins And it is grounded in a relationship with God and the first humans in the book of Genesis that tragically breaks because of our fall into sin. The centerpiece of our faith is about a God who comes to earth to reconcile that relationship. So again, we're supposed to be in relationship. Of course, these actions of social distancing are for the health of everyone, and so we willingly distance ourselves at this time. But it feels as though we're all scattered about, unable to connect and bond with each other like we were actually meant to. I'm reminded of the epistle of 1 Peter. If you have your Bibles, you can open there. In the beginning of this letter that Peter writes, it starts out with this greeting to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now that phrase was swimming around my head this week. It speaks to me because I resonate with the feeling of being scattered now. Peter's not writing in a time of pandemic. He's actually writing in a time when the early church, when the early Christians were experiencing this social ostracism, being pushed out to the edge of society from mainstream culture. And he uses this word, the scattering, because he understands that the church is just spread out everywhere. They're disconnected. They don't have that connection, that type of gathering community that he wishes they would have, that people are feeling alone, maybe isolated because of their faith. On Tuesday night, after I came home from the office, I started to feel a little bit off, and I immediately got concerned, and I wondered, am I coming down with something? Do I have the coronavirus? And I told my wife, Farah, I said, yeah, I'm feeling a little bit off. And her response was, okay, but are you going to finish washing the dishes? And so I washed the dishes, grumbling in my head, but with plans to lay down after. And after I washed the dishes, I finished washing them, I felt better. And I realized that what my heart was feeling was grief. Because I was so heartbroken from Irene's passing. We found out Tuesday morning after she passed, and I was so heartbroken that such a good friend, such a wonderful, wonderful presence here at Evergreen had passed away. And I realized I was still in the process of grieving her loss. And what makes grieving in this season difficult is that we have to do it without touching. We have to do it without getting together and giving each other hugs and shaking each other's hands and putting our arms around each other, of being in close proximity and looking in each other's eyes and saying, I care about you. I'm sorry for your loss. And as this community grieves the loss of Irene, we can't be together physically. We cannot embrace. We cannot have shoulders to cry on like we used to. And that makes this really hard. And then I realized that we're all grieving right now. That what I was feeling was not just the death of a friend, but the changing of life overall. That things were just compounding. That the whole city, the nation, the world, were grieving the fact that none of us can embrace like we used to. That none of us can shake hands or share a meal or even be in the same car of some of the people that we care about. As I've talked to other parents, we grieve the fact that we now have to be homeschool parents. We have to be homeschool teachers for our kids now. Extroverts are grieving the fact that they can't go out and be around a lot of people. Our lives are changed dramatically, and they, in a revolutionary way, in a week and a half. And there's a lot of loss attached to that. The change happened so fast that we weren't actually able to realize that we were kind of sad about it. I'm sad that I can't see my parents right now, that I can't interact with them, that I have to keep my daughters from seeing their grandparents. I'm sad that I have to stare into a camera this morning instead of being with you and hearing your reaction and seeing your faces. I'm sad that I have to use this camera, the same camera, to tell you that our friend passed away. And I can't be there with you in person. We need to grieve that. We're experiencing a physical break in multiple relationships all at the same time. It's traumatic. But I also want to tell you that it's okay to grieve. It's good to grieve. You know, all this pandemic pandemonium is actually kind of clarifying to me, because it helps me to see that what's really important in life is not what we thought it was. What's important is our family, our friends, the food that we eat, the toilet paper that is disappearing. We want our loved ones to be safe and to be healthy. We want to be close to our friends. We want to be able to interact with each other. And all the things that pre-pandemic threatened to be so divisive in church and to our community, to all of us, our political stance, our theological stance, what we thought about different issues, they're still very important. But not as important as what we're seeing right now. How much we need each other. How important it is for us to gather and to be connected as the family of God and as even the human race. What we feel right now, what you feel right now in your living rooms, in your offices, in your bedrooms, separated from each other, this is what schism will feel like. And it's not what God wants for his family. As I reflect on Psalm 51 this week, it begins to take on new meaning. Even though the psalm was not written to address pandemic, the language of this psalm actually begins to take on what we experience. In verses 5 through 12, it talks about the talk of a mother and child. It talks about cleansing and washing, something that we're very familiar with. And it even talks about being cast away from God's presence. In many ways, we are experiencing different sides of those phrases. And as we have been doing throughout this Lenten season, I invite you this week to allow the psalm to vocalize your lament that this is hard, that it's sad, that it's not what God wants for us. Right now, this morning, our lament is this feeling of being cast away from each other. And we ask God that you would cleanse us, all of us. Even as we are cast away from each other, do not cast us away from your presence. And lastly, I just want to say this, as you continue to read through the letter of 1 Peter, which we started with, where it talks about scattering, you realize that this group of churches, that these Christians that were scattered, they were experiencing these trials and these hardships. And Peter says, but you believe in this thing that you do not see. And I want to leave you with that today as you lament. As we journey toward the cross, as we journey toward the empty tomb on Good Friday and Easter, I want to leave you with that we still journey going forward, believing in what we do not see, in this hope that we do not see, and even the people of God who physically we do not see right now. And so let me pray for us. And let's enter into a time of lament, expressing to God our pain, our grief, and our sorrow. Because I guarantee you, God wants to hear it. And he's strong enough to hold it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words that are so ancient and were written even for a different purpose, but for this time and season have taken on this new meaning for us. That we were unclean in our mother's womb, and that we want you to cleanse us, and that we don't want to be cast away from your presence. Those experiences, we are we are feeling in real time. And I know that we're all experiencing pain and sorrow and a lot of loss right now because we aren't able to be together. We aren't able to be with each other. We're limiting the interactions and the relationships that were meant to bless and fill our lives with so much goodness and remind us of you. And so we ask, God, as we lament these things, would you hold them for us? Would you hold us up? Would you give us strength and give us ways to grieve? That we might be open and honest with what we're feeling. And I know that those open and honest feelings will become worship to you. We also pray for the giving of our tithes and offerings. May these offerings be our continued worship, our continued commitment to your people and to our faith during this very trying time. May it be a way that we place our hope in you financially. Pray, Lord, that you would take that offering and that you would continue to bless it, multiply it, and help it to be used for the good of our communities, the people around us, and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.